Maybe I'd have done something different. There's lots of titles been going around, people calling me acting dean, interim dean. I've taken the name stunt dean. It was given to me by one of my colleagues up at the university, and I actually quite like that better. I get called in for the dangerous work. So, and actually, thankfully, Donna Johnson is still in the office keeping me from hurting myself and others. So far, it's been all right. So, this morning, I would like to read from Luke chapter 6, verses 39 to 42. When Krista asked me what translation I was using, I thought I was using the NRSV. I'm thinking that this is something else or I did it myself. So I'm going to read what I have. And no, it's not your fault. It's mine. So I'll just read this, and it'll be different than what you have on the back of your sheet. And he spoke to them this parable. The blind is not able to lead the blind. Will they not fall into the pit together? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who has been fully trained will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in someone else's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How many of you say to someone, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," and when you fail to see the 2x4 in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the 2x4 out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from someone else's eye. Yeah, I'm pretty certain that's my own translation. So, these are probably some of the, I would say, best known words of Jesus, blind leading the blind, and the speck in the eye, and the 2x4. And whenever I've read these words over the years, they've just conjured up different images for me. The blind leading the blind. I don't know if anybody remembers. Does anybody remember reading in the 1970s? It was something called the Barnabas Bible, and it was actually a cartoon Bible, and they would reenact things. Dale already seems to remember it. And I always remember the blind leading the blind, two guys, and they fall into a pit. And as a kid, it was kind of interesting to read that. I'm also reminded of a game we played in the basement of my home called Tiger in the Dark. I don't know where the name came from, but it involved turning off all the lights. There was no windows. And running around full speed at tag. What you need to know is that there were columns and furniture and other things, so quite a few, smack. No bis, but lots of things to injure yourself on. And, so whenever I read this passage, although we weren't leading anybody, I was basically blind leading myself. Which is really interesting because actually blind people tend to see a lot better than those of us with sight. So obviously this saying is from the perspective of somebody who can see. And then, of course, the part about the speck in your eye, the plank or 2x4, I grew up in the home of a builder, a carpenter. We had a wood shop, did a lot of woodworking, and I had many a piece of sawdust or something in my eye, and I know how painful that can be. And so when I would read this, the ridiculousness of a plank in one's eye was... pretty ridiculous, actually. And I remember doing youth group plays of, oh, look, I got a 2x4 in my eye. But, the one that really bothered me here for quite a long time is this one about the student is not above the teacher, but everyone who has been fully trained will be like his teacher. I used to think that particular verse there was actually being addressed to me as a student. And the idea was that I'd never be able to be any better than my professors. I'd never be any better than the teachers that I had. And for a while, I was actually more familiar with Matthew's versions. He just simply says, a student is not above a teacher, full stop. I mean, there's no hope there in Matthew. So thank God for Luke's version, which actually says, but everyone who's been fully trained will be like his teacher. And for a while, that was somewhat disappointing. But then, as later on in life, when I sort of realized that my calling in life was to be a teacher, I began to take, I would say, perverse satisfaction in that nobody would ever be better than me. So it's okay, Maybe I won't be better than them. But then I'm thinking, well, that's a pretty lousy pecking order, because if you're not better and better, you go on, and eventually everybody just ends up being worse. And then I had a few of my students since I came here to Ashland Seminary that exceeded my expectations. I never imagined, not because I didn't think they could do it, but I just never imagined where they would go in life and the things they were doing. And so what I've really come to realize is that this passage and the way that Luke records these words here is really not about a student being forever in the shadow of the teacher. When we read it in context, it's actually about what happens when students have teachers who are not well prepared and don't have their focus on the mission that they were called to. In the context, it really has a double-sided warning to both teachers and students. Just as the blind will lead the blind into a pit, so too an ill-prepared teacher will lead students into the abyss. Jesus is saying that one should not accept inadequate teachers. That's for you, students. If your professors are not well-prepared, you should be making a squawk about it. Because the truth of the matter is that you are going to be constrained by the limitations of your professor. And it should be the hope and the prayer of every teacher that our students will exceed us, that they will do us proud someday. So the message here in this passage is actually both for students and teachers. And so with that in mind, I'd like to start this morning by addressing the professors in the room, my colleagues. And I wish this podium was better for people of normal size. You tall people are just not right. To my colleagues in the room, let me just start off by saying, life as a professor is pretty darn good. It's really good. In fact, I've said more than once, I've had bad jobs, and this ain't one of them. Okay? I've had a lot of jobs in my life, and this is actually a really decent job. I like it. Yes, there are frustrations. Yes, there are challenges. But as one of my mentors told us time and again, the great thing about being a professor is that you get to do your hobby as a job. That which interests us most, that what really attracted our attention, that which we could spend hours doing at any time, it gets to be our job. And it's really nice. But I confess, though, that there are times, not often, but there are times I forget the mission to which I've been called. Somehow, going through grad school and the process of tenure and wanting to have peer recognition causes me to forget that I'm actually here for the students. Sometimes I've even jokingly said that maybe we could fulfill our mission without the students. I said, if they would just send their money and stay home, life would be so much easier. But it's at that moment that I end up becoming a blind guide, that I become the very person that Jesus is warning us against. And the students who study with me will never be any better than me. My job is to fully train them so that they will become like me or probably even better than me, and that they will be driven to be the best woman or man that they possibly can in their career. But teaching doesn't only take place in a classroom, folks, and it doesn't require an official title of professor. All of us that are part of the Ashland Theological Seminary family are engaged in teaching. Everyone from the very essential members of facility services, who make sure we can actually get in here, to the staff, even to the lowly members of the president's cabinet, are all teachers. The way that we treat one another, the way that we minister to one another, all of this happens in a context that is providing education. And when our students see that everyone exhibits respect for one another, and when they realize, as we should, that everybody is an essential member of the team, and that without them, I cannot do my job. Jesus has some strong words here for people who fail to understand this. He calls us blind guides and hypocrites. So, in order for us to educate our students, but to be blind and fail to recognize our own faults, we end up really hindering our students, and they'll be no better. So we need to keep in mind that if we want to train to be better than us, we need to make sure that we are prepared and as knowledgeable as we can be, that we exhibit the right attitude and spirit in the way we treat one another as well as them, because leaders that we are training are going into counseling, they're going into various ministries, and students invariably learn what they are taught. Now for the students, and you're all like, oh my gosh. I want to start actually with the end of where you're all going, graduation day. Some of you are closer to that than others, some going to get there maybe in a few more years. But one of the greatest privileges for anybody that is here is that day when we get to watch you walk across the stage, receive your certificate, and launch off into doing whatever it is that God has called you to do. And every year as I watch people go across that stage, I always end up knowing a number of people there personally. In fact, some of my greatest friendships were made from students that were actually sitting in my class first. And I always wonder, what will they be doing in the future? Where will they be? And one of the things that Lori and I have enjoyed doing over the last few years is visiting our students in the place of their ministry to see what they're doing, to see how they're doing afterwards. I remember one commencement a few years ago. when Dr. Renita Weems was our commencement speaker. She came to us from Vanderbilt University. At the time, she had actually just moved over. She was VP of Academic Affairs at American Baptist College. And her address for the day was based on 2 Kings chapter 2. And this is the story about when Elijah is about to be taken up and Elisha is following him. And he says, "What do you want?" He goes, "I want a double portion from you." And he says, "Well, you're going to have to watch. And if you see, then you'll get it." And of course, what happens is the mantle falls and Elisha now gets to wear the mantle. And Dr. Weems, she brought this around in her message. She talked about how sometimes students want to wear her mantle. They see what she does, they see the way she speaks, the things that they know. They want to be like her, they want to wear a mantle. But she says they want to be like the professors, but they don't want to do the work to get there. And her exact quote for the day is, "I often tell students how amazed I am that they think they can turn in papers late, not read the paper when they turn it in, turn it at the very last minute, and think, however, that when they become a pastor, their sermons will be done on time." Her statement got a round of applause for the audience. And I have to admit, I was actually quite happy to sit there and say, okay, so this happens in Ivy League schools too. All right, so it's not just here. I admit I was one of those applauding that day. I had just turned in my grades, graded some papers, and at times I've been disappointed, maybe shocked, at some students, papers are handed in sloppy or full of errors, not even close to what the syllabus required. Now, don't get me wrong. My positive experiences with my students have certainly outweighed the negative. But it's hard sometimes to get over the feeling that some students, are hurtling towards this graduation day with the goal of becoming a pastor, a chaplain, a counselor, yet they don't take the time to do what they need to now. They're not taking the experience serious. And seminary is just another thing to check off on the way to their ministry. And I ask myself, why do we think this is acceptable? Why? Would I want my medical doctor to just simply go through and check the boxes? Do I want my cardiologist to simply say, "Well, I didn't do anything in the area of biology and pharmacology, but don't worry, once they put you out, you won't feel a thing"? When did we get the idea that D stands for degree is okay? And yet, there are a lot of people that I've met over the years that are hurtling towards getting a piece of paper, but the truth of the matter is, while they may have checked off the requirements, they don't have all the qualifications. And they convince themselves that they've already got what it takes, they just need that piece of paper. And then I ask myself, how are they any different from the blind guides that Jesus is talking about here? Because they also are teachers. All of you will be ministering to people. You will be teaching if you're in a teaching ministry or if you're even counseling. And how are you ever going to be able to bring people up past you if you yourselves are not adequately prepared? It's not just for professors. It's for anybody that are leaders. The reading this week for the lectionary, interestingly enough, was from James chapter 3, verse 1. "Not many of you should aspire to be teachers, for you will be judged more severely." That haunts me. I'm still not sure what all it means, but it bothers me. Now, I suspect many of us are victims of the busy lifestyle that society creates. 40 hours a work week, taking classes, church responsibility. Oh, yeah, and then maybe you're married and you have kids. And there are things that are getting in the way, and I understand that. But I'm wondering is can we afford to simply hurtle through this time and check off the boxes? Will we really be of service to the people that we want to minister to someday? I tell my students, if you haven't developed good habits in seminary, it'll be even harder to learn them once you get behind the pulpit. So if you're a seminary student today and you truly believe that you've been called here, then I ask you to please consider who you're going to minister to. Jesus says, the student is never above the teacher. And while you're here in your classroom, don't merely just leap over the hurdles, all right? But do the best you can. And hopefully one day, those whom you are serving will be able to exceed you. If you're a professor, an administrator, or a staff member here today, I encourage you to remember why you were called here. We've been entrusted with a precious treasure, both by God and by the students who trusted us by coming here. We owe it to them to do the best we can and to make it that sure that we exhibit the qualities and the attitudes that prepare them for the ministry to which they were called. And together, both as those of us that work at the seminary and those of us that are students, hopefully can be free from the accusation of being blind guides. Amen.
Good words, convicting words for us this morning, amen. It's so easy to just run right to the next thing and not dwell